Chapter 5. Splintered. I name you traitor. A piece of silver. It was nothing short of overkill. One single pulse barrage would have been enough to crack the tanker's compartment bulkheads and destroy its reactor core. Instead, the salvo of beam fire from the Lalandia obliterated the transport vessel completely. The Mistral's heedless, headlong flight was over before it could begin, and the brief supernova of its death throes cast a shimmering light over the bows of the other craft, crowding behind the dagger line. Fragments of white-hot hull metal and clouds of vaporized plasteel billowed in the darkness, backlit by flashes of radiation and plasma fire. Their lesson delivered, the Nolandia's turret guns returned to their previous stations. For a moment, a stunned silence held sway across the warship's command deck. Then Garrow was advancing on the custodian, his hand on the hilt of Libertas.
"You callous!"
Rubio stepped into his path, grabbing his hand before he could fully draw his sword from its scabbard.
"Captain, don't!"
Kararin stepped forwards, opening his hands, inviting attack.
"No, Captain, please do. Please, defy me as well, so that I may confine you to the brig and complete my mission without further interference." "You forced that to happen," snarled Garrow. "Just as you goaded Varan. There was no need to destroy that ship. There was time. Rubio and I could have teleported aboard, taken control of it." "Perhaps."
The custodian gave a broad shrug.
"But I do not deal in vagaries, Garrow. There is either obedience or anarchy, order or chaos. I gave those fools fair warning. They ignored me at their own peril."
He advanced, pushing Rubio aside until he and Garrow were a hand's span apart.
"There is no room for confusion here. And now every ship in that fleet understands, as you too should understand. Those who do not obey will suffer the same fate."
It took all of Nathaniel Garrow's will to let Libertas slide back into its scabbard.
"To hell with you!"
He ground out the words and marched away.
"I do not believe in such delusions,"
Kararin said to his back, as Rubio followed after him. The Dagger Line was an ancient vessel, old at the start of the Great Crusade, and a veteran of many, many wars. The ship had been tested to its limits hundreds of times over its lifespan, and this was to be its last voyage. A final heroic race across the void, leading those who still held to their oaths. A pilgrimage, if one would dare to speak so pious a word in the heart of Terra's secular empire. But all for naught now, so it seemed. The ship would never fall under Earthlight again. It would rust and corrode out here among the ice asteroids, forever in sight of Sol, but forbidden to approach it. Mesa Varan did not think in such ways. His cunning, martial mind was not open to sorrowful ideals. He lived in the moment, fought his way through life second by second, and he was ill at ease, angry. This was not why he had come back to Terra, not to see his ships destroyed, his liberty sundered. Such was his preoccupation that he almost missed the figure waiting for him in the corridor's gloomy shadows. He halted and turned his cold eye to the darkness. In the wake of the Mistral's obliteration, nothing could be trusted.
"I know you are there," he snarled. "Show yourself, or face a bolt round."
"Brother Captain Varan."
A ghost emerged from the shadows.
"Garrow."
Varan's bolt pistol was instantly in his hand, the muzzle only inches from the legionary's face.
"You dare to call me brother? I should kill you where you stand. You have no right to show your face here. How did you even get aboard this ship?"
Garrow inclined his head.
"The Dagger Line's tertiary shuttle bay is poorly guarded, and I made sure we were not tracked by the Nalandia."
"We?"
Varan's grip on the gun tightened.
"Rubio waits below. He guards our transport. He clouds the thoughts of any who might look too closely."
"So Kararin did not send you?"
Slowly, Varan's finger curled away from the pistol's trigger. After a moment, he let the gun drop.
"I have already ignored his orders by leaving the battleship. Garrow insisted. I had to come back, Varan, to speak with you, so we might gain the full measure of one another, and speak plainly.
Plainly?
He gave a harsh laugh.
That gold-plated whoreson destroyed an unarmed transport ship, and you did not stop him. Is that plain enough? If the Daggerline were not such a wreck, I would pilot it into the battleship's bridge to spite that braggart.
Regret clouded Garrow's scarred face.
Believe me, I tried to prevent it. But Kararin is inflexible. He considers you traitors in all but name. But not the white scars, eh?
Varen's pistol went back into its holster.
The rest of us he would hang, but not Hakim's Carder. How is that fair and just? How is that the imperial truth?
Garrow paused a moment before he replied, framing his words.
It is true the sons of the Khan have proven their loyalty in this schism. But the rest of us are thought corrupted by the actions of the greater number.
Varan wanted to fling the accusation back at him like a blade, but Garrow knew it already. His legion, like Varan's, were vow-breakers.
You know the sting of that, I'll warrant,
he went on.
Aye,
admitted the other warrior, regret weighing heavy in that admission.
I was not cut out to lead like this, Garrow. I am a killer, a meat-cutter.
Varan shook his head angrily.
Not a brood mare struggling to protect a clutch of weak and feeble runts. I lead warriors, not common folk.
His gauntlet closed into a heavy fist, and cold fury burned within him.
Damn Horus Lupercal for this. Damn him for his treachery and false promises. If he had not sundered the legions, we would not be here. No one would need to die without purpose.
I feel as you do, brother, said the former Death Guard. The Warmaster has turned warrior against warrior. Oaths made in blood and fire have been broken. His betrayal casts the blackest shadow across the Imperium. It threatens everything we have worked for, fought for, died for. Everything has changed, Varan. Trust turns to sand. Men like the Custodian Guard are ascendant now. Ruthless men with too much to lose, and a gaze too narrow to see the complexities of the moment. He took a step closer, opening his hands in a gesture of comradeship. We must work together if we are to end this spiral of suspicion. Find the truth before Kararin's distrust leads him to even greater bloodshed.
What truth?
Varan asked warily. Rubio waited at the foot of the Arvus lighter Garrow had co-opted from the Nalandia, casting a glance back at the blank-eyed pilot servitor enclosed behind the cockpit bubble. The machine slave was a savant, highly trained to fly the little shuttle, but utterly incapable of any other interactions or thought processes. It had been relatively simple to appropriate its punch card control memes and order it to take them across to the frigate. In the aftermath of the tanker's destruction, the zone of space around the battleship was heavy with particulate debris that fouled the scry sensors. On low power, it had been possible to make the transit from one ship to another unseen. Getting back would be a different matter, though. They would not be fortunate enough to slip the net twice. He retreated back into the shadows under the wings of the Arvus, where the only light came from the eldritch glow of his psychic hood. The illumination bathed his face in cool whispers of energy, his power helping to hide him and the lighter from passing gazes. His abilities were returning to full potential, to the strength they had reached before the decree of Nykaea. For Rubio, it was like staring at an indistinct image as layers of haze faded away. In time, his gifts would be at their peak once again. He reached into his memory and felt for the ghostly shimmer of psychic noise that he had felt last time they were aboard the frigate, grasping telepathically for the brief but distinct form. And he found it.
It comes again.
A shock passed through him. The impression of the hidden and the dangerous, the same ephemeral trace he had sensed aboard the Mistral, but here, now. Rubio took a step forwards and hesitated. Garrow had charged him with guarding the Arvus while he set off to find Varan, but the inaction chafed upon him. He knew they were risking much to come here,
but to stand by and do nothing, that seemed like weakness. He could not wait for Garrow's return, and the sense of the untoward was already starting to fade from his thoughts. He could not ignore it. With grim determination, Rubio threw a last look at the lighter and set off into the depths of the dagger line. Garrow studied Varan carefully. He knew that with a single wrong word, at the slightest trace of duplicity, the world-eater would turn on him. The sons of Angron went to violence as their first tool in all things, and he could see that Varan's temper was worn paper-thin by the events of the day. "Whom do you trust?" Varan answered without hesitation.
"My kinsmen."
"The ones who came with you," Garrow corrected, "but not the ones who stayed to follow Angron."
"Don't play games with me," spat the world-eater. "You know what I mean. It is not easy to see an oath you lived for ripped apart by those you once called brother."
Garrow nodded gravely. "I do. What Horus has done,
it will change the legions in ways we have not yet begun to comprehend. He has broken something that can never be remade."
A thought that Garrow had never before voiced, one he had carried since Istvan, now left his lips.
"From now until the last of us perishes, there will always be a doubt in the minds of every legionary as he looks upon his brother. He will wonder, even if only for a moment, will my kinsman ever turn from the Emperor?"
Varan nodded, knowing it was true.
"We know that potential is in us," Garrow continued. "It has been revealed and proven. A splinter of suspicion that will forever lie in our hearts. Tell me, what do you know of the lodges?"
The other warrior's expression became a brooding scowl.
"That idiocy that came from the Davanites. A pointless thing. I forbade my men to participate in them. Secretive meetings in shadowed alcoves are for the fops of the Imperial Court, not space marines."
Garrow nodded again. He had avoided the lodges for similar reasons, and like Varan, he had paid the price for standing alone.
"What about Rakishio? Does he share that sentiment?"
"Do I trust him, you mean?"
Varan's hand strayed to his face, rubbing at the scars on his chin.
"Like all of the Emperor's children, he's a peacock. But put a sword in his hand and he becomes a hurricane of blades. I would be dead a dozen times over if not for Rakishio. He found us a way out from Istvan. Lost plenty of his men doing it, too."
At length he nodded.
"Yes. He shed blood for me. I trust him."
"In these turbulent times," said a voice from above. "That is good to know."
A legionary in full armor descended from a walkway crossing the corridor, and Garrow turned to face the other warrior, his hand falling to the hilt of his sword. Neither he nor Varan had been aware of his approach, and that was of grave concern.
"What did you hear?" he demanded.
"Enough,"
Rakishio approached them, his hands open, but his aspect cold.
"First you and the custodian challenge us, then you massacre innocents. Now you return to cast doubt upon our honour and call us to heal like lapdogs. I might expect such behaviour from a mortal, but not one of us, Garrow."
He struck the golden palatine Aquila across his chestplate with the heel of his fist, and the ceramite rang with the impact.
"Do you forget what this means?"
His anger began a slow rise.
"Or did you lose that along with the colours of your legion?"
"I forget nothing," Garrow retorted, "and I need not prove myself to you or any other. I had no hand in the destruction of the Mistral, but perhaps you can explain why it fled the line."
The question seemed to take the warrior by surprise.
"Do you seek to accuse me of something? Look to Kararin. His words sparked a panic, and now he shouts out orders to us as if we were neophyte recruits or fresh from our mother's breast."
"What orders?" said Garrow.
"The reason I came down here,"
Rakishio turned to Varan.
"Brother Captain, the custodian has demanded that representatives of the legions assemble on the landing deck to await his arrival."
"How far is he going to push us?"
Varan spat on the deck.
"Does he want us to draw our weapons?"
"I assure you I have no knowledge of this," insisted Garrow. Varen seethed.
Then if we wish to know more, it seems we have little choice but to come to heel.
And where will you stand, Garo?
Said Rakishio.
With him? Or with us?
Garo opened his mouth to reply, but the answer was lost to him. Garo's presence in the Daggerline landing bay drew a collection of stares from the assembled legionaries, some of them authored by surprise, others cold disdain or outright disgust. He showed nothing, but behind the blank mask of his face he was conflicted. They placed the blame equally upon him as they did upon the custodian, and the sting of guilt was strong. No matter how hard he tried, Garo could not accept that the brutal execution of the Mistral was justified. He was not one to shrink from hard choices. He had made many in his time as a legionary and a commander, but Garo had never been ruthless. That cold, dark well of intent that some men drew from did not exist in his heart. He hoped it never would. Garo glanced up at the landing bay hatch, waiting for it to grind open on its massive brass cogwheels, but he soon realized that Kararin had opted for a different entrance, one with a much greater display of shock and awe. In the center of the deck, a flickering seed of emerald energy faded out of nothing. It cast out flails of lightning, sketching an expanding sphere of shimmering color. Rakishio saw it first and called out to the others, forcing them away.
"Back, back, I say," he shouted across the bay. "Clear the umbra!"
Each of them knew the signs of a teleportation precursor. Anyone caught too close to the displacement aura would risk being sucked in, to merge with the new arrivals in a malformed mess. Garo shielded his eyes as a Viridian orb crashed into existence upon the deck, the phantoms of dozens of figures within, gaining solidity and dimension. At their head, Kararin surveyed the chamber with the same imperious manner he had on first meeting Garo.
"Stand to," he ordered.
Varen did not obey.
"What is the meaning of this?"
Kararin advanced, stepping away from over a dozen armed naval troopers in full carapace armor, his sword bolter already drawn.
"Any of you who touches a weapon will be considered an enemy of the Emperor and treated as such."
His eyes found Garo, and he sneered.
"Of course. I should have known you would be here with the rest of them. Did you bring the witch mind, too?"
He shook his head, dismissing him.
"No matter. I'll deal with you later."
Garo could stay silent no longer.
"I came here to correct your mistake, Kararin." "It is you that is mistaken," he said, without even a look.
Instead, the custodian addressed the other legionaries before him.
"Heed me. I am hereby taking direct command of the refugee flotilla. You will submit to my authority in the Emperor's name."
"I won't allow it," said Varen.
"You won't stop me," he replied.
"You think so?"
Varen stood before the custodian.
"Call back to your battleship for a few more platoons of those troopers, and I might just start to take you seriously."
For a moment, Garo thought Kararin was about to strike the former world-eater. But instead, the warrior in gold and crimson beckoned to a Mechanicum emissary hiding amongst the soldiers, and the adept ambled forwards on iron feet.
"It seems you are the short-sighted barbarian I took you for," he began. "This isn't about posturing or your honor, Varen. This is about facts. Truth."
At a word from Kararin, the adept operated a portable hololith capsule, beaming a hazy image into the air over their heads. Garo recognized what appeared to be the bridge of a civilian starship and saw a halo of data indicators flickering across the display.
"After the Mistral was interdicted, I dispatched a team of Mechanicum scouts to survey the wreckage of the tanker transport."
Kararin's voice took on a lecturing tone.
"Their drones recovered the ship's central archive record. It preserved the last few moments of the vessel's life." "Why show us this?"
said Hakim, eyeing the image.
"Watch and be illuminated," Kararin told him.
All of them turned to do so. There, on the hololith, clear as day, came a figure in the full power armor of a legionary. A heavy bolt pistol filled his fist. The log recorder showed him as he strode across the Mistral's bridge, carefully executing the tanker's crew, one after another. It was as if the atmosphere was suddenly excised from the landing bay. Dread marred Rakishio's perfect face.
"This is impossible!"
Garrow stiffened at the sight of the sudden, brutal burst of carnage, as a ripple of grim disbelief echoed from the legionaries around him. He felt a terrible, familiar sensation wash over him, a sickening horror at such open butchery from the hands of a battle brother. He had witnessed such things before, at Istvan, and again at Kalf, all at the command of Horus. With the bridge crew dead, the murderous warrior moved to the helm console and turned the ship's yoke, putting power to its engines. Almost as an afterthought, the legionary looked up and found the sensor head that was recording the images. He raised his gun. A shot rang out, and the hologram dissolved into a fall of static. Kararin pointed with his sword, his face like thunder.
"For the record, let the colors of the killer be known. He wears the purple and gold of the Third Legion, the Emperor's children. And so I name Rakishio and his warriors traitor."
Rubio allowed himself to become free of distractions, and he moved down through the mid-decks of the frigate with a degree of stealth that one might have thought unattainable for a legionary in battleplate. He was adept at becoming invisible when he needed to, and Rubio knew these ships well, having spent many a year aboard such craft in the Ultramarines expeditionary fleets at the height of the Great Crusade. On the 8th level of the Dagger Line were the Legion barracks. Usually home to dozens of squads of warriors, here they lay mostly empty. The renegade world-eaters, the lost Emperor's children, and the White Scars were sharing the compartments, but no one walked there at this moment, save for mindless servitors intent on their tasks. It troubled Rubio that his psychic inkling had drawn him here. The closer he came, the sense of what his thoughts had touched grew clearer, and with them, his misgivings. He wanted so much to be wrong, even as he knew he was not. For a moment, he allowed himself to feel a measure of sorrow, then smothered the jolt of emotion. This was not the time or the place. Moving through the compartment, he reached for a particular cabinet at the back of an arming alcove.
"Here," he told himself, "here is the place where the darkness has collected. I must know what is within."
What he was about to do was a gross violation of a battle brother's personal effects, a grave insult that no legionary would overlook. But he had no choice. He had come this far. Rubio sensed the residue of intent around the locking mechanism and dialed it open with great delicacy, taking care not to disturb the cleaning cloths, tins of lapping powder, and other items used to maintain a legionary's war gear. The cabinet slid open, and the Codicia felt the temperature in the compartment fall by degrees. The guns of the troopers in Kararin's escort were raised and ready, but they wavered, some aiming towards Rakishio and his men, others drifting back and forth between the other legionaries assembled before them. In another time or place, such an act would have been met with immediate violence, but for the moment the attention of the warriors was turned elsewhere.
"Rakishio,"
Varen's words were low and menacing,
"you will explain what we witnessed. Tell me, now."
I can't say."
Garrow watched as the warrior in purple and gold shook his head, his eyes wide.
"I don't know. All my warriors are here, accounted for. I don't know who that was."
"Some kind of illusion,"
offered Hakim.
"An imposter, perhaps."
"No," insisted Kararin, brooking no challenge to his words.
"The adepts assure me the images are genuine. It would take incredible skill to falsify such a recording. I deem it true."
"How closely did you look?"
Garrow glared at him.
"Did you want it to be disproved? You seem very ready to accept it at face value."
He advanced on the custodian, eyes flashing. Kararin showed his teeth.
"When we return to Terra, I will see Malkador strip you of that armor and bury you under the craters of Luna. Do not think you have the right to question my intent, Garrow."
"If what we saw is fact..."
Varen was struggling to grasp what he had seen.
"Answer me, Rakishio. Do you still serve Fulgrim? Have you rejected the Emperor?"
"No, brother, no! I fought and killed my own battle brothers to come with you! You know that!"
The warrior was almost pleading with his comrade.
"Fulgrim betrayed us all!"
"Indeed,"
said Hakim.
"And in turn, the Emperor's children took the War Master's side.
There was no pity in the White Scar's voice.
Perhaps all of them did so.
You will surrender now, or you will die.
Kararin said the words, and the armed troopers took aim.
I call to all those loyal to Terra to take aim and fire upon these turncoats if they do not comply.
As one, the White Scars followed suit, turning their bolters towards Rakishio and his brothers. Hakim's nod had been subtle, but enough for Garrow to see it for what it was, just as his men did. They trained their weapons on the Emperor's children, each prepared to make a headshot kill. In turn, Rakishio's followers had their guns at the ready to fire back.
I am sorry, Rakishio, intoned Hakim. But this must be done. Do not resist.
No,
Varan strode forwards, into the line of fire.
We will not carry the horrors of Istvan with us. The legacy of that act must not reach here. Lower your guns!
The World Eater's power sword flashed into the air, and Varan raised it across his chest, daring anyone to oppose him.
I said lower them. I did not claw my way through the madness of the ruin storm for this.
Garrow sensed the moment tipping towards open violence, and he followed Varan across the deck.
Stay your hand, he called. No more blood must be shed.
Kararin walked forwards, bringing his sentinel blade to a guard position. He glared at the World Eater.
If you wish to die here, Captain, I will see it done. You will not oppose my commands, nor will your men.
His gaze momentarily took in Garrow, and the warrior knew the threat was meant equally for him. When Varan spoke again, his words were an angry hiss.
You expect me to let you execute Rakishio, like you did those poor fools on the Mistral?
The Emperor's children are culpable, said Kararin. You saw the recording. If you defend them, you share their guilt.
Garrow stepped between the two warriors, his hands open and raised.
Whatever you suspect to be true, Kararin, Rakishio is still a legionary, and he answers to authorities higher than yours.
The custodian snorted.
Unless he surrenders peacefully, that point is moot.
A heartbeat more, and there would be open conflict. Brother fighting against brother. Legion against legion. In this place, the great misery of the insurrection was being played out in microcosm. Garrow turned to Varan, imploring him to step back from the abyss.
Brother Captain, he will listen to you. Don't let this go any further.
For a moment, Garrow feared the World Eater would spit out a war cry and attack. But then the fire in his eyes ebbed, and with sullen mood, he returned his sword to its sheath.
Rakishio,
he said in a dead voice.
Stand down. Cousin, I promise you that this matter will be resolved, and your honor restored.
Very well.
After a moment, Rakishio bowed his head.
You have brought us this far, Varan. I will trust your judgment now.
Grudgingly, the warriors of the Third gave up their guns and blades. The grave symbolism of the act taking place without a word spoken. Varan's gaze had never left Kararin's.
Are you satisfied, custodian?
Kararin did not answer, instead turning to the White Scars.
Hakim, you and your men will accompany me below. We will escort these prisoners to the Daggerline's brig for detainment and questioning.
Very well.
Hakim made a terse motion with his hand in battle sign, and his warriors took up positions around the disarmed Emperor's children. Garrow and Varan watched the warriors march away across the landing bay under the guns of the White Scars, with grim, solemn expressions. At last the World Eater turned to him.
Is this how our world must be from now on?
Before Garrow could answer him, another voice spoke, crackling from the vox bead in his armor.
Garrow, do you hear me?
Rubio, where are you?
Below decks,
said the Codicia, a warning in his tone.
I've found something you need to see.
On the Psyker's insistence, they gathered in a maintenance corridor beneath the Daggerline's secondary heat exchanger array, amid a rain of moisture dripping onto catch trays below. Rubio stepped out of the shadows as Garrow approached, casting a cautious look up and down the empty corridor.
You were not followed.
No one saw us, said Garrow.
Us?
Varen moved into view, his aspect set and cold.
If you have something to say, Psyker, you may voice it to me also. This situation is growing worse by the moment, and I will not be left behind by any development.
Garrow gave him a nod. The situation has changed, Rubio. We owe him the right to know the truth. With quick, blunt words, Garrow relayed what had taken place in the landing bay. Rubio listened with mounting concern, feeling the colour drain from his face.
I fear what I am about to say will only create more disorder.
He held up a metal disc, slightly larger than a thrown gelt coin or a 5 aquila piece, stamped out of silver with an intricate design on both faces.
Do you know what this is?
Turning it in the low light of the corridor, the etchings conspired to make the shape of a crescent moon. Garrow reached out and took it, and from the expression on his face and Varen's, both captains were aware of what the object represented.
It is a lodge medallion,
said Varen.
Only those who are sworn initiates to the secret host may carry such a thing. He who holds this holds loyalty to Horus, I'll wager.
Rubio's lips thinned. He had suspected as much, but now confirmation made his gut twist.
I found it on the barracks deck,
he explained.
It was hidden in an arming cabinet. I sensed it, like the sound of a distant scream on bloody winds. There is a psychic trace on the object. The last time I encountered such a warp taint was on Kalth, when the Word-Bearers attacked us with their hell beasts and cult slaves. I think it may be somehow bonded to its owner.
The medallion flickered as Garrow examined it, the lines and forms upon the surface moving almost as if they were threads of mercury. It is cold to the touch, this eldritch thing. Aye, this is the mark of treachery. Rubio thought he saw a circle upon it, a wavering line, a star with 8 points, one changing into the other, an inconstant and shifting illusion.
If there is no mistake, then this makes the claim of Rakishio's disloyalty certain, and his men doomed along with him.
Varen spat angrily on the deck.
Curse this war! I believed in him! By the throne, said Garrow. Kararin was right.
But Rubio was raising his hands, shaking his head.
They do not understand. No, you mistake my words. The lodge medallion does not belong to Captain Rakishio, or any of the Emperor's children.
Varen grabbed him by the wrist.
Then where did you find it? Among Hakim's personal effects.
Garrow stared at the disc in stunned silence, and for an instant Rubio fancied that he glimpsed the shimmering patterns upon it become a mimicry of the Fifth Legion's lightning bolt sigil.
How can this be? Garrow was shaking his head. The Khan's sons are loyal to Terra. They have proven it.
All of them, said Rubio, just as every son of Mortarion and Angron is blindly loyal to the Warmaster.
The counter cut hard, and he saw Garrow accepted it with a grave nod.
But if Rakishio is truly innocent,
Varen blurted out the words.
Then Hakim cannot allow him to live, concluded Garrow.
He tapped the vox link on his gorget, tossing the medallion away into the depths of the sluice tanks.
Garrow to Kararin. Do you hear me? Answer, you fool!
The quiet murmur of a dead communications channel was the only reply.